It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio.
Good morning, Phil Vacchio.
Good morning.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here every weekend talking to you about estate planning and elder law. Sometimes we're talking about New York Mets baseball. Phil doesn't like that.
Sometimes
we're talking about
engage.
New York Yankee baseball, and I'm okay with that. I'm a little more tolerant than you are.
A little bit, I think, yeah.
But most of the time it's estate planning and elder law, home care and long-term care elsewhere, and wills, powers of attorney, all that stuff. It's call and show at 518-476-5900, and you could reach us in our offices in Albany, Saratoga Springs, up in Queensbury, down in Kingston by calling us in the office at 518-465-7581. Phil, I look at the 10-day forecast every single morning.
Yeah.
John, that's what I do. Every single morning.
No, I don't blame you. We're all waiting for spring.
Well, I can't believe tomorrow's March.
Yeah.
It is March.
Tomorrow's March. March 1st.
Wild to me.
You know, February is such a great month because you know it's short. You know that like a week in, you're like, oh, we're in mid-February. We're almost done with it. And then you get to March and things happen in March. Like, for example, a week from Monday, I'm just random day.
Right.
I see a high of 64 degrees.
Ooh-wee. When do you see that? Where?
I don't know, on my phone. I might be looking at the wrong city.
I think you.
No, you don't see that.
No,
as Dave.
A week from Monday.
Giving us false hope here.
Oh, a week from Monday.
A week from Monday.
Oh, okay.
No, what do you see a week from Monday?
Well, there's only a 15% accuracy, if that.
No. That's Monday. I didn't ask how accurate it was.
John, he just wants some false hope, John.
No,
that's all he's looking for.
What do you see? What do you see?
No, I don't see. I don't have it here.
Oh, see.
It only goes to Friday.
Well, I see the future.
So.
My future sees 64 degrees on next Monday.
All right. Holding to do it.
Well, I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, I would take 46 degrees. Yeah. I mean, today it might be 46 degrees.
It might be, yeah.
So right. I'm proud of everyone out there. We did it, I think. I'm not jinxing. It might snow. It might snow in a week. It might snow tomorrow. That's fine.
Well,
we're you know, historically speaking.
Mentally, we're almost there.
Historically speaking, March will end with, you know, spring.
Some flowers.
Mm-hmm. We're almost there.
Yeah, March 20th, day of spring. So
we'll see.
Yeah.
Phil, I feel bad for Long Island and all these nor'easters they're getting. They got pounded.
Man. Yeah.
That's all right. They haven't had them in like 7-8 years and have very mild.
Now they have finally something to complain about.
They can get a taste of it. It's okay. I don't feel bad.
So, John, we had an eventful week at the office.
Oh, what'd you guys do?
Yeah.
Well, on Wednesday, and Phil and I are going to talk all about this. We like team building, you know, we have some new team members at the firm, and it's always
great.
Good to just kind of get away from the office. So we went to something called an escape room. Have you ever done an escape room?
Oh, I've heard about that. No, never done it, but yeah, I kind of know what it is.
So can you enlighten the audience as to what an escape room is?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of fun to start off. You have a team of people, right? Mm-hmm. So Dave got to choose the teams. I don't know how he chose the teams, but they seem to be rather fair.
It wasn't a competition, Phil. It was...
It's always a little bit of
a
competition.
You know what? I'll tell you the secret. I wanted to make sure that some people who maybe don't interact in the office got to interact a little bit.
Yeah,
he did a good job with that.
Yeah, that's good.
But so you get these teams of people and you go to a facility that hosts these rooms, and each room has a different theme. And the idea is you get stuck in this locked room for, in this case, it's an hour. I don't know if it's always an hour, but it's, you know, some period of time.
Yeah.
And you have to solve a bunch of different puzzles and riddles and open locks and boxes to be able to, quote-unquote, escape the room within that time.
Yeah, and you can't just go to the door and open up the door. It's like to get to the next step, to get this key or this lock, here's some clues.
Mm-hmm.
And
they will let you out if you ask.
There's
a safe word. You're not trapped.
Technically, the doors are not locked.
Right.
But,
and they have to say that to you in the beginning.
We did see someone there that's been there for 3 months, but that might be a unique...
Well, looking a little straggly. He'll get out eventually.
Oh, man.
But, you know, I feel like, you know, attorneys in general, perhaps, you know, paralegals and our staff that's used to get inputting or receiving lots of input about facts and here's what's going on, and you got to kind of analyze things. You got to figure out what matters from this clue, what doesn't matter, what's the, you know, the red herring that's just language that, you know, And how do I get use these clues to figure out the way to open up this one lock that then opens up this other box
right.
with other clues?
And so how many escape rooms did you guys use? Just the one?
So one per team.
Yeah, so we had about five people per team.
Oh, okay.
So we did four different rooms, and everyone had their own room. So I had like a Sherlock Holmes-themed room.
Yeah, mine was Hollywood, old Hollywood room.
That's neat. Yeah. So does it depend on who gets out of their room first?
I guess you could do it that way, but the rooms have different difficulties to a degree, and it's not apples to apples. So it's more of just work with your team and get to a victory together was the idea.
Right, right. Work together and get to know each other.
It's interesting because, you know, like Dave was saying, we do that every day with our staff. We're a team and we solve problems for people. Mm-hmm. So it was fun to do it in a different setting and see how those skills that each of our employees have applied to that. It was cool.
Yeah. And where I think it connects to what we're hopefully going to talk about this morning is that we basically... every day when we have a consultation, particularly Phil, you know, like we're problem solving with like the estate planning stuff and, you know, what kind of trust will fit and what's the right language for leaving things to a problematic, you know, child or something like that. I think even more on point is those long-term care fact patterns with the home care, not home care and all the different moving parts. And I was hoping we would together kind of talk about the different kinds of clues that we may get that help get us to the answer.
So you want to start with the most complicated room first, is what you're saying?
Yes. No, definitely the most in depth because, you know, and if you don't mind, Phil, I'd like to talk about this yesterday morning emergency meeting with existing client, long-term existing client. John, they did a trust long ago. Her sister did a trust long ago. We did trust for the nephews and nieces. It's, you know, like it's a long-term prepared fact pattern for a very long time. And
right.
Son of a gun.
Right.
Auntie, we'll call aunt. Aunt's been falling and aunt is in rehab right now and we're not sure if she can go home. So like the theme of that escape room was, you know, like escape from nursing home.
Help aunt. get auntie out.
Yeah.
Now, you said that you're helping the whole extended family over the years. Your firm has been, is this the first member of that family to face these long-term problems as far as you know? Like, is this the family's first time going through this type of scenario?
It's interesting. It's the first time that we're looking at professional help to make, like, homework.
Okay.
Because there are...
Oh, no kidding.
There are people who have passed. There are people who have definitely had long-term care, but they've...
Just dealt with
kind of relied on each other.
Yeah.
You know, in an escape room, you may get a clue or a letter and you got to pick out what from this letter is actually guiding me to the solution. And there are different factors for home care that might work where it might not work for somebody else. And, you know, like, for example, Phil, one of the things we were talking about off the bat was what are the doctors saying? You know, what's the prognosis? Is this a short term? You know, fact pattern is aunt going to leave us at some point soon, or is this really a long term fact pattern? And as an example, the facility, Phil, said to the family, "We think aunt needs to roll over from the rehab room shortly into a long term care room," meaning they think she's going to need to stay there for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the nursing home or the rehab's opinion. Their medical staff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. And so what I said to the family is, well, okay, that tells me that this is truly a long term fact pattern. They're not saying she might go on hospice soon.
Yeah,
or we need palliative care immediately. They're saying she needs long term care. Mm-hmm. She needs to stay in the facility, and she likely can't go home. So immediately, I'm thinking, okay, at least we're in the conversation of long term care.
And we can give certain degrees of weight to that advice, you know, not the opinion of the facility, right? Because sometimes they're saying, "Hey, this person doesn't need to be here anymore; they can go home right away." And sometimes that's telling, right? That's the start of the conversation. All right, maybe we're looking at home care. Facility is not always right. Sometimes they want to just get the person out for various reasons.
Or they want to keep them.
Or the reverse, right? So they say, oh, this person can't go home. There's no way they have to stay here. And I think in our practice, we always explore all options regardless. So we say, well, let's look a little more into it. They're saying that, but what's the situation at home? What is this person's level of care? What are they doing at the facility? But that is a good starting point. You know, what is the facility saying?
Yeah. So they also said, and this will be something I think you've heard all the time, is they said, your aunt can't go home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I said, well, that, you know, that's their opinion. What they are saying is she cannot be home alone. And they're correct. She really cannot be home alone.
Or maybe she can't go home to the version of home that previously existed.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we started talking with you know, the other members of the family. And it said, well, what were her wishes? And she really, 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 really wants to go back home. She really wants to die at home.
Which is not unusual.
Not unusual.
No, not at all.
And so we said, okay, you know what, in respect for what she wants, let's start this conversation, the consult, with what does it mean for her to go home, and is that going to be doable?
Yeah.
And so then, Phil, that takes like these two roads. Next clue in the escape room, which is, you know, do we have the type of home that can accept home care?
Yeah.
Do we have the kind of caregiving family around us, you know, whether, you know, paying for it or Medicaid, you know, unpaid care through family, like, is it actually doable? It's nice to want things. Is it actually going to be doable or not? And that was kind of like the next turn in the mystery, which is, you know, is this real or not? So we looked at all these things like income and assets and, you know, logistically. I've been to the home like 8 times.
Yeah.
Like long-term client. And, you know, I've been in a number of rooms in it. You know, I know what the kitchen looks like.
Is it a ranch? Is it a 3-story house?
It's a small house. Yeah. And aunt, over the last little bit, has actually just resided on the first floor.
Okay.
Even though the first floor doesn't have a bedroom.
Yeah. They have to kind of change things around to make it more of a living space. Okay.
There's not even a bed there.
So not truly. They haven't done all that that background work.
No. So this woman's been kind of on her own and just like, you know, on the couch and dealing with it and happy with it. And she's got her TV and she's, you know, not malnourished or anything like that. But but for her, you know, it's possible, for example, that there could be a live-in and the live-in would be upstairs and we could convert the dining room into a bedroom. And like,
they would have their separate spaces. That works well.
A ton of work, a ton of degree of difficulty, but doable. So we were kind of like, can home work? What does it take? And we were going through all these different factors.
Well, let me ask you this. In this scenario, did Auntie have an opinion? Like, so sometimes the client himself or herself are adamant. Sometimes they're, you know, mentally out of it, so they don't really know what's going on. Sometimes they're resigned to staying somewhere. That's a factor, too, we look at.
So thus far, Auntie is very happy-go-lucky. She would like she's made it clear she'd like to die at home.
Yeah.
She also really likes the mashed potatoes at the facility. She made that clear.
It's a tough choice, then. She's at a crossroads.
Yeah. Well, so
and you can't find like, out if they do takeout. She,
well, this is important, though.
You guys deliver your potatoes.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This is not funny, Phil. This is a serious matter.
Okay.
And no. The reason why that matters is because she's not pounding the table in agony saying, I need to get out of here. I really want to go home. Because if that was the case, I think the family would be a little more, you know, by hook or crook, we got to make sure that she gets home. And whatever it takes, you know, money's no object. We'll convert the house. We'll do whatever we need to do. We'll pay caregivers. We'll get on Medicaid in addition to that. You know, we'll make it work because that's what she really, really wants. She'd like to go home. She's comfortable where she is. She, you know, is very friendly with the staff.
Yeah.
This is all very recent. And she's not pounding the table.
Well, that's good because that can be really difficult for families when we have them dealing with that, you know, the level of guilt that goes along with it. It sounds like Andy here is someone who's a little more amenable to the situation and saying, you know, this is what I want, but I'll make do and thank you for helping me kind of scenario. That's good.
So, Phil, I'm looking at the clock. There's 15 minutes left in this escape room. I don't know if we're going to escape it yet.
Oof, not even close, guys.
We'll be back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. I'm Detective Dave Kubikian.
And I'm stressed out, Phil. I don't know if we're going to make it out of here, Dave.
So welcome back to the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. We were talking about Aunt and her escape room situation, which is, you know, she did fall a couple times. She's in rehabilitation right now. We're not sure if she can go home. We know for sure, Phil, she cannot go home by herself. Mm-hmm. Life will not continue to be the way it was before her fall. The question is, can we muster enough home care 24/7 situation? I think everyone agrees that is a 24/7. So do we have enough money, Phil? Do we have enough resources, enough family, enough hours, whatever, the right house to make it work? Or is this escape room situation, maybe the result is that it's a long-term care nursing home fact pattern. And that's okay. Right. It's whatever it is.
So tell me more about what's the family situation. Who does she have around that would be able to potentially kick in? Because even if we can get home care, it's not always, you know, complete round-the-clock care, and we might need to depend on some people. What
so
is that?
Aunt is old. Aunt is not a spring chicken, which means that her nieces and nephews are not all that young. I mean, they're not old either, but the lifting that it would take. And I think, Phil, when there's like, you know, you're one of nine, right?
Yeah.
And if one of nine lives locally, or all of nine or eight of nine live locally, it may be easier for mom and dad in that scenario to make it work, because everyone takes a shift. Yeah. I'm going to check on mom. You're going to check on mom. Here, there's no kids.
Right. So not a large support. Well, no kids, first of all, right?
Yeah.
And then the other support system is
a niece who is old, you know. Yeah. A nephew who is in a memory care unit.
Oh, okay.
Some great nephews and great nieces that are worried about their own parents right now, but are able to help a little bit in the consult, able to be there and as a sounding board.
Oh, you had great nieces and great nephews in the consult?
I had a great niece.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a nice close family.
Yeah. And you know, like as we're talking and, you know, the niece in the room, who's, you know, again, no spring chicken, is saying, yeah, I really want to try to see if we can get her home.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going into like what all that takes, Phil, and like, okay, we could get X amount of hours, but there's Y amount of hours that aren't covered, and someone's going to need to quarterback this and manage it and make sure everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I could see in the corner of my eye, the great niece there who's, you know, has a career and, you know, has to go back to work after this appointment is like, hey, I'm here for this. I don't think I could be there for that. And I could feel it, you know, it was
We have to be honest with these clients. Home care is often a lot of work. I mean, rarely is it a, you know, set it and forget it type scenario. There's still people involved quarterbacking things. Sometimes if you have aides running smoothly, something happens to that aide doesn't show up, that aide gets sick. You know, it's not like it's, all right, everything's in place and we can forget about it forever. Whereas a facility is a little more, you know, self-contained.
Yeah, and I'd say that's even more the case when we're not Bruce Willis and we don't have millions of dollars to throw at it.
Well, that's different, right, of course.
So we're trying to cobble together a plan, truly cobble together a plan and see if it could work. And here, not a lot of income. You know, there's house expenses. It's an old house. That, you know, it's tough. And the more we were talking about it, Phil, the more we started, you know, I think at the outset it was like, okay, let's see how rehab goes, but maybe this is a 50-50 proposition. Maybe she can go home, maybe she can't. And we're going to actually, from our attorney standpoint, I was like, we're pushing the pedal on the long-term care nursing home. If she can go home later, that's great, but we need to be prepared because it's not looking good.
Yeah, so we started the process regardless, and even if she went home or stayed, you know, we were prepared either way.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
But as we were talking, it became clearer and clearer that home is getting more and more of a long shot. Like, is it technically doable? Yes. Is it going to be a lasting good plan with people ready, willing, and able to make it all work? No.
Well, here's the thing too, with coming home, we have to be realistic and feasible, because to come home and do a ton of work and then the person, you know, falls again immediately, or whatever the case is, it just doesn't work. And we, you know, we give it our best shot. Not to say don't do it, but sometimes it's like, hey, listen, guys, this really is a long shot. And it's very likely it won't work. And then we're going to be back to square one with, you know, money spent and this and that. So we have to consider that, too.
Yeah. And so the way we're kind of landing on it, I guess we are getting out of the escape room a little early, is long-term care in the facility. And certainly she might have a great week of rehab and get stronger and so on. But I think what's clear is that she wasn't doing wonderful before the falls. She was struggling with her own needs before the falls. And I think, you know, one of the great ways to escape an escape room is to never get in an escape room.
Of course.
You know, and the more you prepare for it. And so she did a Medicaid trust long ago. So we knew that we had all these options. I know I'm not going to have to lose her home. She inherited a home from her sister. I know we're not going to lose that either because of the way we did planning. Like, for example, Phil, for her older sister who had her own home, they both did Medicaid trusts, right? First sister wanted to leave everything to aunt, right? To this woman. And so we didn't just leave, you know, in her, you know, we had the estate plan go from trust to trust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of a house going to aunt, so she adds it to her trust.
Right.
We had that happen automatically. And I think we're actually out of 5 years regardless. But, you know, that's the kind of planning we're going to be doing. Think about all the different variables, all the different facts in the pattern. I know some people don't like it when we say fact pattern. Built.
Who's that?
Yeah. They you know.
They drink too much?
Yeah. And truly, every fact matters sometimes. And so in this crisis care situation, most of the facts matter. When we're doing planning, most of the facts matter to try to put it together because we don't see the future. I mean, I could not tell you that one day I was going to be meeting with you know, these people to talk about Aunt falling, but it was certainly possible.
Yeah.
And that's why we created the plan to begin with. So,
well, you say we're out of the escape room. I say not yet, Dave.
Oh.
All right. And maybe in this case, but so you mentioned.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Because she's got $120,000.
Well, exactly right. So we still have to look at now we've decided on the fact that, hey, we know which route we're going and we've figured out a partial way out of the escape room where we want to be, which is she's going to be staying in a nursing home facility. But now we say, what does that look like? How can we maybe preserve some of the assets? How do we get Medicaid approved so there's a guaranteed pay source going forward? To give the family some breathing room, which truly is a more a set it and forget it. Once all that's done, Medicaid's approved, she's in a place where she can remain long-term safely, and there's a pay source, so we don't have to think about how is the money going to keep paying if we run out. So you mentioned the house is in this trust, and maybe in this family too, there's maybe some trust amendments I'm hearing potentially because stuff was left to people who are now in a nursing home, not her directly, but to her trust. It's protected. There's $120,000 or so out of the trust.
Unprotected.
Unprotected. Yeah. So, you know, did we talk to the family about what we're doing there?
Yeah. We glazed over it because...
By that point, they were full fried.
We truly looked under every rock. And that's another thing about these escape rooms. You never know what's a prop that's going to matter or not. So you really are looking under everything and turning things over to see if there's some sort of code or something. It turns out that there's more resources than you're allowed. You're allowed about $32,000 to qualify for the program, and she's got, you know, significantly more than that. So what the plan is to in general save a little more than 50 cents of every dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice consolation prize. It's nice to know at least there's always something we can do. Sometimes people think, hey, I never planned, or we didn't get through 5 years, so we're going to lose everything. No, that's not true. With a good power of attorney, which she had long ago, we can put together an estate, a Medicaid crisis plan that saves half the money. I don't want to talk about the ins and outs, just, you know, on the radio, it's difficult. Yeah. And similarly, we didn't with them, but we told them we're probably going to save about $60,000 of it, which, that's great. Well, guess what? We lost another about $60,000, so not so great.
Well, and in a case like that, too, where there are no kids and, you know, maybe the family's not even overly concerned about preserving it for heirs, it's there for stuff that could come up, right? Yep. There's still a house that's still going to have expenses, and we've lost aunt's income because that's going to have to be contributed to the nursing home, even when Medicaid's paying. So maybe they're getting the house ready for sale. They need to do some work on it. Whatever the case is, there's things they can now do with the $60,000 or so they're going to save that otherwise would have all just gone to the nursing home.
I'm just shaking my head here because I've been in that house.
Some stuff has to be done.
Oh, my. There's so much stuff.
Well, she was a elderly woman living alone, I'm sure, over the years.
Yeah, not like hoarding or anything like that. Just a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, over the years, you end up just having stuff.
My house has a lot of stuff. Uh-huh. I can imagine what it's going to look like in how many more years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, it's good to have a plan. It's, you know, none of this is possible without a great power of attorney that allows agents to do all these things. Oh, by the way, you know, we're avoiding probate no matter what. Whenever Aunt's last day is, we are avoiding probate. Guess what? Medicaid puts liens on estates. So it's good to avoid probate. It's good to have trusts, even if, you know, we don't have long-term care fact patterns out there. So
here we do. But so the family was happy with how the consultation went? I mean, not happy. Obviously, the answer
everyone's overwhelmed.
Stuff, but
everyone's overwhelmed.
It's still out regardless.
Well, you know, when we were thinking, this is how crazy it might be, when we were thinking that home is going to be a real option, and we did for about half an hour, we were talking about specifically how do we move money out of Aunt's name today? Because today was yesterday. Yesterday was the 27th day of February. And
March 1st
is tomorrow. Yeah. So actually for home care, you could move money around on a Friday and qualify on a Sunday. That actually is possible. People have no idea about that. They would call us liars.
Yeah.
But for community Medicaid, no look back, you could do it. So, you know, I was tired from the consultation. I was worn out. I was like, you know, it's my brain was full because it's
a lot going on that one.
And you want to be right. You want to guide the clients as best you can. And then you don't control all of these other variables, you know. So, you know, if we just listed out the kinds of things that matter, right, income and assets, whether they're protected or not, we could always throw money at problems when it comes to long-term care. What kind of family do you have around you? Are they going to be willing and able to provide unpaid caregiving or support the caregiving operation? What's the house look like? Is there another arrangement? Maybe the house isn't suitable for her, but maybe it could be an apartment. And we'll just figure it out. Home, we'll just change where home is.
Right.
Oh, by the way, we still need to pay for these properties. And if Medicaid's going to take income, and in a nursing home situation, they do, even at home care, they want the income. We need an income plan to try to still afford all these other It's a lot.
Well, to that point too, Dave, for the audience to know, that the house you mentioned is in a trust. There's still expenses with property taxes, maintenance, utilities, homeowners insurance, right? Well, they own the house, and you're going to lose Auntie's income to pay for those things, which has been used in the past. They can sell it though. So with the kind of trust we did, if they sell the property, a few things. You know, one, they're still going to get, and I won't get too into it, but they're going to get a capital gain tax exemption because it's a primary residence. We didn't lose that with the trust. The funds go into a trust.
I will
account.
Say though, Phil, real quick, she may have owned it so long.
It might be above the
be
so she gets the exemption, but still, So the sale of the house, you know, now there's a house turning into money, but it's the same asset, just in a different form. It's going to stay in the trust. It's not like it's going to expose it to Medicaid liability there. So they put it into some kind of account owned by the trust, and they can get rid of those expenses. And it's going to be their choice, obviously. Maybe they do want to keep it as an investment property. But that type of trust we do is really great. It's really flexible. It's going to have a lot of options still.
I think we escaped.
Well done. Out.
Good job. Have a good weekend, guys.
John,
enjoy today.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.